Up and running in here. Good. Okay, so we're in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to learn the next entry of the Mishnah. The last thing that we learned is all about Koresh last week, and we learned about Koresh having this Shegel, having this this decadent relationship, this relationship with the dog, and we explained how we think that that is indicative of Koresh's decline, whereas Koresh gave us a second Beis Hamikdash, but we say Hechmetz, at some point he became a person that was not good for the Jewish people, and initially began to be very, very good for us. The Gemara has a strange lima that we left off last week, that we left off with last week, and that is where Chazal compare the relationship with the Shegol to our relation with Torah. Shehoisa chaviva lov kishegol. Rabba bar lema gemara gomer lov amai kormi l'shegol. Shehoisa chaviva lov kishegol. So Vil Yoshev, in his fear, he explained why should our relationship to Torah can be compared such a strange way to a that kind of relationship. So Vil Yoshev suggests that Chazal are pointing out is that it is that just like the relation, a bestial relationship is an unnatural relationship. So similarly, our relationship to Torah is above. It's unnatural, so to speak. It's that the inspiration we get from learning and our connection to learning is something that's hard to explain in logical terms, and it's something that is connects with the neshama and can't be explained in physical terms. So that, but now we're at the few lines from the bottom, and with singular golem 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the bottom. Gemara, the Mishnah had said that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. Right, the first entry of the Mishnah, what we've been discussing until now, is Rosh Hashanah Lemlachim. That it is the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the marker, the index that we use for Jewish kings. We use it for Koresh because he was good to the Jewish people, and it's used in order to date documents. So that brought us into a discussion about dating documents, about the power of documents, and then into a discussion about the usage of the concern for Shalom Malchus, to be sure that we are in good relations with the kingdom. Now we on the next entry, Ul Regalim, and for Yom Tif, the Gemara says, Regalim be Echad be Nisan Hu. There is no Yom Tif that is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. How can the Gemara say that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tov that places Pesach as Regal number one? What's the, we have to organize the Yom Tov. Which is the first Yom Tov? Is Sukkot the first regel, the first of the three regalim, or is Pesach? So the Gemara says Pesach is the first of the three regalim. So the Gemara says if that's the case, then the 15th of Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh of regalim. Just like the 15th of Shvat, you don't have to have Rosh Hashanah does not have to be at the beginning of the month. So the Gemara says, the first Yom Tov is 15th of Nisan. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda explains, Regel Shemboi Rosh Hashanah Lirigolim. Nafkamina, the Gemara says that what the Mishnah is recording is that it is the way Rashi says it, Regel Shu Bachodesh. It really is that Pesach is the Rosh Hashanah of all Yom Tov. But we are, and the way that we should read the Mishnah is that Pesach, the Yom Tov that comes in the month of Nisan, is the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. Again, how does the Gemara phrase it? Regal Sheboi Rosh Hashanah Lirigolim. The Yom Tov Shebo, the Regel Shebo, the Regel that's in Nisan, Rosh Hashanah Lirigolim is the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. Maynav Kamina, what does it mean when we say it's the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim? Lenoidar Lemekim Alei Bebal Ta'ach. Where it says that we have a halacha, Pasuk in Kiseise. Pasuk says, we have in the side of here, Ki Sidar Neder, the very, you find it at the very bottom of the quoted Psukim. Ki Sidar, was that? When you make a pledge to the Ribbono Shel Olam, lo sa'acher l'shalmo, one cannot procrastinate in keeping that neder. Ki darish yidrishenu Hashem alekecha me'imach, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu will pursue it. And if we don't pay up on time, if we end up paying late, so then that'll be counted against us. So there is a din that we're, that's what we're going to discuss. The next three blocks with many tangents. The next three blocks, the next three dafim, discuss the various aspects of this din. Now, it isn't supposed to delay in paying loans. So the Gemara is, not loans, in paying obligations that we have to Hektish. Obligations, promises that we took. Now the Gemara is going to tell us that the lo sa'acher doesn't happen right away. What's called a delayed, what's called procrastinating, what's called late? Late is after three Yamim Tovim. How do we count the three Yamim Tovim? Which one's first? As the Gemara says, the Mishnah is pointing out to us that Pesach is the first of the Yom Tov. So just like you have and very often when we have obligations to pay, so it says on the invoice that due right away, and we have, sometimes you have on the invoice due in 60 days or 90 days, sometimes you have due right away, but the penalty is only if we delay after a certain amount of time. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was the same system. We made certain promises, and we'll discuss which promises. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said it's considered to be delayed if three Yomim Tovim passed. So the Gemara says, and where do we begin? We begin with Pesach. So that is this first passage. Now it raises the question, and this is why does the Gemara express itself? Why does the Mishnah express in such a roundabout way? Why can't the Mishnah say, okay, there are five Rosh Hashanahs, there's Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for dates, and the 15th of Nisan, Pesach, is the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tovim? Why did the Gemara Mishnah have to say that the way he's supposed to read it is Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for kings, and Nisan is the, and the Yom Tov that's inside Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for Regolim, is the first of the three. And it really, it doesn't relate to Nisan altogether. This kasha was raised by the Rishash. It was raised by one of the Chassidus Sforim also raises it. But the Rishash's answer is, Rishash is one of the commentators at the back of the large Gemaras of the Shmuel or Shlomo Strassan. He wrote on every single daf of Shas, except for I think two dafim. I think his comments in every single daf except for one daf in Nazir, and I forget what the other one is. And he was a businessman. He was a fairly wealthy businessman. In fact, some believe that he paid his way into the Vilna Shas, and he sponsored the publication. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I think it was one of the. But his comments are often very, very both encyclopedic, and sometimes they raise questions that should bother us, should bother everybody. So he raises this. So his answer is that the point the Mishnah is making is that Pesach is the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tovim because it's in Nisan. In other words, it's not Pesach, it's not that the Yom Tov of Pesach is significant in and of itself to be the first one of the cycle. It's because Pesach is situated in the month of redemption. So apparently what the Mishnah is pointing out to us is that it's true that Pesach begins the count, and Pesach is first of the three, but Pesach, this status of Pesach, has to do with the fact of where it places in the calendar. It's not the schus of Pesach itself. How would we explain that? So probably the way that I would understand it is that the month of Nisan is a redemption on several levels. It is the beginning of redemption, and it's the climax of redemption. It's the beginning of redemption because that's when we got out of Mitzrayim. That's when we were. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu liberated us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be his people. It's also the climax of redemption because the first of Nisan is when we built the Mishkan. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to rest with us, and that was the first form of the Beis HaMikdash. So apparently, the Yichus of Pesach vis-a-vis the other Yom Tovim. In other words, Pesach on its own obviously has its own significance, but Pesach, what makes Pesach the first of the three? All right, so you'll say, well, historically, it's not true. Historically, because historically, Sukkot happened before Shavuos, because we got the Anani HaKoven, we got the shelters probably before we got the Torah. So, Sukkot could easily be after Pesach. So, but we went in the Midbar before we got the Torah. Right after we got Kriyas Yamsuf. Right, but we were in the Midbar already then. We were walking from. We only went into the exile of the Midbar, but we were in the Midbar already right after, on our way to Midbar Sinai, right? So we already had some kind of protection then. So it's historically, it's not Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. It's probably Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos. And in terms of significance, one can argue, is Pesach more important or was Shavuos more important? Because that's when we got the Torah. So hard to argue. But the Yichus of Pesach vis-a-vis the other Yom Tovim is because it is in the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is the month that we got the first iteration of the Beis HaMikdash. So apparently that's what the Mishnah wants to point out. Not that Pesach is a more important Yom Tov, and therefore it's number one, but that its situation in Nisan gives it an advantage over the other Yom Tov. Right. Right. So Michael's saying from an agricultural perspective, one could raise the same. One could also argue, what is the more important agricultural moment, the moment of the rebirth of the Chag Aviv or Shavuos? We started already. Bringing in fruits and Sukkot, we bring in all of the wheat and so many of the crops. So we could easily argue from an agricultural perspective, Sukkot is even more important than Pesach. So that's what the Gemara wants to point out. We're not evaluating importance. We're not evaluating trajectory. That's what the Rishash points out. We are evaluating its position in Nisan. Nisan is what gives Pesach this status. And that's the din of the Baal Ta'acher, that we can't delay. Now, what is this din of Baal Ta'acher? So the Gemara says, Nafkamina l'naydi l'mekim le Baal Ta'acher, Reb Shimon he. And this is Reb Shimon's position. So we've got the Gemara in the next Omud is going to present four or five different positions as to how we mark Baal Ta'acher. When is a person violating Baal Ta'acher? What is considered to be a delayed fulfillment of a pledge? Rav Shimon says, the Tanya, Echon Anoyder v'Echon HaMakdish, whether a person makes a pledge, whether a person promises to give a certain amount of money to Beis HaMikdash, or promises to bring a korban to Beis HaMikdash. Echad HaMakdish, whether a person actually sets aside the animal and says, this animal is kodesh. The Echad HaMarich, whether a person gives money to Beis HaMikdash in a very strange way. We don't fully understand it. He says, as the Gemara is at the very end of Parshas Masai, he says that his erech, his value, could be given to the Beis HaMikdash. Why would a person do that? Person could be that a person wants to celebrate a birthday. So he wants to give his value to the Beis HaMikdash. So different ways he could do it. A person could say that he wants to give his value as an eved, as a slave, or it could be that the Gemara has a sliding scale. People at different ages have a different erech, are evaluated differently. Or let's say a person wanted to give kavod to somebody. So he says, I want to give his erech, whatever his value is. We find out his birthday, right? The difference, he wants to give, there's a, used to be a oft-quoted joke of a person that, right, the person that wanted to give kavod to the Satan Merav. So he, when he got an aliyah, and they asked him how much he wants to give, he says, wants to give the gematria of Yoel. This is Rav Yoel of Satmar. So Yoel is not such a big, lot of money, right? Lamed is 30. You have a yurt in there is 40. So you have 47 or something. That's too big. So the Satmar Rav heard this. So he said, back in Europe, they used to call me Yoelish. That adds on another 300. So a person wants to give kavod. All right, a person wants to give haidaya. For whatever reason it would be, he wants to give so that also is subject to the rules of Baal Ta'acher. He can't procrastinate. Kevan she'ovra lov sholesh regolim. Once three yamim tovim pass, oiver, he now is in violation of Baal Ta'acher. It could be every day that he doesn't take care of this obligation. He is in violation of Baal Ta'acher. So that is Reb Shimon's opinion. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. Three Yom Tovim. The Tanakhama doesn't tell us which order. So according to Tanakhama, if you made your nether in Tishrei, so then you have Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, and you have to pay up before the summer. If you made your nether before Shavuos, so then you'll get till the next spring, whatever the three are. So the Gemara says that is the Tanakhama's position. Rav Shimon Oimer, Sholesh Regolim Kisidron, it's the three Yamim Tovim in order. What's the order? Chagamas, it's Tachila. Pesach is the first. That's our Mishnah. The Rosh Hashanah of all the Yamim Tovim. For this din of Baal Ta'acher, so that way the person makes a promise right before Pesach, then he has half a year to pay up. But a person makes a promise right after Pesach, then he has a year and a half to pay up. Because he doesn't, the counter, the meter doesn't start till next Pesach. So that's from Shimon's understanding that it has to be three in order. That's our Mishnah. And Stam Rab Shimon is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rab Shimon Yochai would explain to us, Regolem Pa'amim Sholesh Pa'amim Dalid Pa'amim Chamisha. He would explain that sometimes a person would make a nether and sometimes he would have three Yamim Tovim to pay up. Sometimes he would have four Yamim Tovim to pay up. And sometimes he would have five Yamim Tovim to pay up. How would that work out? So he would say, Lifnei Pesach. If he made his nether right before Pesach, he has to pay up in half a year. He's three Yamim Tovim. If they had Severus, he made his promise before Shavuos, then he gets five Yamim Tovim because he gets Shavuos and Sukkot, and then it only starts counting. If he makes his promise before Sukkot, so then he gets an extra half year because the count of the meter starts right before the next Pesach. So he picks up an extra half a year. All right, that's the din of Baal Ta'acher. Baal Ta'acher is a lav. We're going to learn that there is a mitzvah saseh. Ubo sashoma that when you come to Beis HaMikdash, you should bring your Beis HaShoma. So it turns out that if I go to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, and I don't bring my pledges, so I'm not in violation of Alta Achra yet, but I am in violation of the mitzvah saseh, of the positive commandment to bring my pledges. Ubasa Shom, when you go to Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaShomer, bring your obligations, bring your korbanos, don't delay. So the positive mitzvah, I would violate first Yom Tov. The negative mitzvah, I wouldn't violate the three Yom Tov later. So one of the Mephorshim asks, what is the significance of Bal Ta'acher? I mean, what does it matter whether am I in violation of the positive? In other words, so what happens when I'm in violation of Lo Sacher? That's another Aveira. Can I get Malkus for Lo Sacher? So we have a principle that one doesn't, that only gets Malkus for a lav sheyesh bei masa, for a proactive violation. A person eats chametz. A person beats, hits the parents, so he gets Malkus. So the person has to violate proactive. But if a person violates a lav in a non-active fashion, he doesn't get Malkus. It's a lav she'ein b'masa. So the Pnei Yeshua, one of the great Achronim, says, so what's the real tip? What's the big deal? First Yom Tov, he's already in violation of a mitzvah saseh. No. So another two Yom Tovim, three Yom Tovim. So now he backs up a loy saseh. It does again Malkus. So I guess some would say, all right, but you're in violation of a loy saseh, that's worse. So there is a sefer, the Maariv Chayis. The Maariv also in the back of the Gemara. So he says there could be a situation where a person violates Bal Ta'acher proactively, and then he would get Malkus. And that is if a person makes himself Tomei such that he couldn't go to Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it's Pesach, it's Shavuos, he's supposed to go for Sukkos. All right? And now he can be part of the Chevra Kedisha, and he ends up making himself Tomei. That's proactive. Okay, Smith would be different, but let's say there could have been other guys, other members of the Chevra could have taken care of it. Or, some reason, he has to go to the Beis HaKvaris. He has to go to the oil. So he becomes Tomei. So now he can't go to Beis HaMikdash. He made a Cheshbon. More important to go to the oil than go to the Beis HaMikdash diamond. Okay? So now he proactively made himself Tomei. And now he can't get the Paraduma in time to go to Beis HaMikdash. So now, when he ends up not bringing the korban that he was supposed to bring, that's because of a situation that he thrust upon himself, then he'll get Malkus for it. Go ahead. Yeah. Right. Right. He wouldn't get Malkus, right? Right. So the Maariv Chayis, the let's compare it to a situation where a person doesn't get rid of his chametz and Pesach. So that's a lav shein b'masa. He wouldn't get Malkus. Either he forgot to be mevatel it, he forgot to sell to the goy. On Pesach he finds that he has chametz. He wouldn't get Malkus because the lav shein by masa. Now, on the other hand, the Rambam writes, if he actually buys chometz in Pesach, so he would get Malkus, even though the violation is not a proactive violation. The violation is I happen to have chometz in my property. But the Rambam writes, if I did an action which then puts chametz in my property, so even though my violation is a violation of which is not proactive, but if I proactively cause it to happen, then I would get Malkus. So there is, I'm not saying everyone agrees with this, But that would be the approach, that in this particular case, since he actively caused himself, even though ultimately he violated in omission, not commission, but since he put himself in that position, he gets malchus. There would be room to discuss. No. Yeah. He would get another if no, so then, no, then after Pesach the Baal Ta'achar clock would start ticking after Pesach. Yeah. It would be due. No, it was due on Pesach. If he made a promise before Pesach, so it's due the next Pesach. It would be due the next Pesach. So when the next Pesach goes away, he would be in violation. Right. So let's say he made a promise before Sukkot. So then he gets a free ride for Sukkot, and then the clock starts ticking. Yeah, Michael. Right, so that might be a reason to have another lab, but it wouldn't automatically generate malchus. It would not generate malchus automatically. Korban Pesach. But that's the gift of Corey, so something else. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Right. Right. So I'm saying that there is a Gemara in Shabbos that a person shouldn't go on a boat 3 days before Shabbos, because he's going to end up having to violate Shabbos, because if he doesn't keep on paddling, they're going to sink. So he's allowed to go on a boat. He's allowed to paddle on Shabbos if without paddling, he could end up sinking. The only thing he can't do, and if he goes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he's okay. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we say not to go. So that is a din derabbanan that there are many suggestions why that is so. Some say because he'll be seasick on Shabbos and he won't be owning Shabbos. But the reason that you're referring to is that he's putting himself in a position where he's going to have to do something in Shabbos. Now, when he does it in Shabbos, it'll be mutter. That's bikoach nefesh. But that's a separate, that's a new din de rabbanon, that I should not put myself in a position where I'll have to violate Shabbos, even though it'll be mutter at that time. So that's when there'd be no malchus for that, because he's not, when Shabbos rolls around, whatever he does will be mutter. But no, it's the same thing. The difference over here is that when Yom Tov rolls around, so he will have put himself in a position where he can't do Baal Ta'achar. Right? So that's over there, it's when Shabbos rolls around, what he's doing is permissible. So that's why it requires a din de rabbanon to make that osur. Now it's Wednesday, right? Wednesday, I can, I'm not causing any violation of Shabbos. But if I go on the boat on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, when Shabbos comes, I'm going to end up rowing and it'll be permissible. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there, Chazal say, then it looks the thrum and optics. It looks so clearly like you put yourself in this position. But there, as far as the Torah is concerned, he didn't do anything wrong. As far as Chazal are concerned, it's more of it looks like he was didn't take Shabbos seriously. So that's why it's Chazal's making a din de rabbanon so that I should not do something on Shabbos, which is ostensibly mutter. But I put myself in a position where I didn't have to, where I didn't keep Shabbos perfectly. That's a din de rabbana. But it'll be mutter when I actually violate, it'll be permissible. Right over here, I'm putting myself in a position where I'm going to end up violating Baal Ta'achar, but with no, wasn't permissible what I did. Over there, I can go on the boat. But when I get to Shabbos, then I will have. Here again, Malkus for Baal Ta'achar, for not bringing the animal on Pesach. Right. But he did a maisa to make it happen. That and that's the chiddush of the Rambam in Pesach. There are those. What you're saying is the position of many Rishonim, that you look squarely at the lav, irrespective of how you got there. This is based on the Rambam's approach that if I got to the lav in a productive way, so then I will. Then I would get mal.
Rabbi, how would you give him Hasra?
I'm sorry?
How would you give Hasra if any of this, to give him Malkus?
Yeah, that's a good point. How would you give Hasra? I'd have to know that this guy has a korban to bring, right? And I would have to be there when the chevra makes the phone call and the guy says, I want to take this one because this way I'm off the hook for my korban in Yerushalayim, right? I was looking to get out of this trip. This will get me off the hook.
But that sroah also has to be within 2 minutes of him doing the lav, right?
So that's a good question. Whether it has to be, they can't be a hesach hadas. Okay, then I'm not sure. That's a good question. Would there be and let's say he would make himself tomei erev yomtiv. Okay, we can make erev yomtiv afternoon.
Yeah, but the Baal Ta'achar comes at the end of Yontif.
The Baal Ta'achar would come, well, no, probably once Yontif comes in. But once the Marzchais would argue that once I preclude myself from bringing the Korban and Yontif, then I was violated Baal Ta'achar in a proactive way. It was Erev Yontif. It's my third Yom Tov. I make myself Tomei, so somebody could give me Asra saying, now it will not be Tar. It's more than 7 days. You will not be able to bring your Korban.
And they give him Malkus right away? Before Yom Tov?
I don't know. I see why. After also, he just brings the Adam. All right, so that would be the Maraz Chais's situation, where the guy is warning him. Maybe it might not be a Korban. It could be a Kohen who's waiting for his Truma. So could be giving him the Asra. Could be a big Truma shipment that he wants to postpone. So that's the Gemara says, Tone Rabbonim. Second last line. Then now the Gemara quotes another Brisa that discusses this din. Tone Rabbonim Chayevei Hadgomen Vil Erichin, a person who's obligated to bring funds. The person said that he's going to give a certain amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. Vil Erichin, person who says he's going to give his value to Beis HaMikdash. Hacharomen, a person who promised to bring a korban to Beis HaMikdash. Hagdeshes, a person who set aside an animal to be a korban. Chatois, could be a korban chatos, could be a korban osham, could be an ola, could be a shlom, any one of these korbanos. Tzedakos, a person who promised to give tzedakah. So this is going to be a sugi in daf vav amud aleph. When is a person in violation of Baal Ta'achar for tzedakah? The Tosfos points out that if a person promises to give tzedakah to the poor, and the poor are available, so then one has to give it to them right away. If the poor are not available, So Taisma says, I don't have to run after, I don't have to look around for the poor. But if I promise to give certain amount of money to the poor, and I don't find it, they don't come by. So now 3 Yom Tovim go by, then I have to start looking for the poor. Or I have to look for the poor before it goes by. So the Tosfos says, when it says stuck, then again, we'll discuss this more in more detail in Daf Vav, how does that start? But he says, for tztaka, if the poor are accessible to me right now, I have to give it to them right now. If that's in addition, we're not talking about a poor man comes to me. Poor man comes to me, so then I cannot hold myself back. I have to give him something. Like sa'amets, I can't hold myself back. But let's say he doesn't come. I'm sitting at home. I decide I want to give a certain amount of tztaka to the poor. Certain amount of tztaka to the poor. Okay? So I put money aside. Okay? Now, if I know there are poor around, so I got to take care of it. Send it out. If there are no poor that I'm aware of, so then, according to Tosfos, I wait till Pesach. It's Machlokes. We'll discuss in a moment how we paskin. I wait till the 3 Yom Tovim pass, and then before the 3rd Yom Tov pass, then I have to be proactive and try to find the poor. There is a riddle that Zilberstein has, which is based on a comment that the Chavetz Chaim makes. He says, the first night of Sukkot, we know the halach is the first night of Sukkot, if it's raining, so then there's a machlokes whether you go into the Sukkah and make the bracha. Now the idea that mitzvah potter min ha-sukkah, that when it's raining, you're potter, so that applies clearly to every meal starting first day Sukkot. But how about the eve of the first day of Sukkot, the first night? So then that's the machlokes. Whether we say mitzvah and potter min ha-sukkah, it's raining or potter. Some say the first night is like matzah, like any other mitzvah. So a person has tzar when he has matzah, it's not so comfortable, not so before, after. Now he starts to have matzah, mitzvah day raisa. So it's raining, and mitzvah day raisa, it's being the sukkah. So the machlokes is the first night of sukkahs. So it's a no-win machlokes. Because if you say, I'm going to be machmir, and I'm going to go into the sukkah, and it's raining, so then there are many, many, Rishonim would say, not only are you not mekayim the mitzvah, you can't make the bracha, because no mitzvah. So there are those who would say, you're supposed to be there, you make the bracha, and there are those who would say, bracha levatola. So since we don't know what to do, so we wait. That's the minig. We wait till for hours and hours, if necessary. So then the achranim say, you have to worry about the family, and you have to worry about shalom bias. So after waiting for a while, then you go into the sukkah, you make a kiddush, you have something to eat, you don't make a bracha of leishay basukkah, go into the house and finish everything off, and then you wait, you stay up till you can't step any longer and see if it dries up, then you go and see if you can make a bracha. Okay, gachet. So the Chavetz Chaim, in his comments, it's in a footnote, says there's one situation where it's the first night of Sukkot, it's pouring, and you're mechuyev to go into the Sukkah. You wouldn't make a bracha, but you're mechuyev to go in the Sukkah. So what's that? What's the situation where you're mechuyev to go in? No, because kibbutz aim, he's not kahalacha. The father tells you, go in, and you tell your father, but doesn't it say? Doesn't it say this? You have to. Yeah, but why would he eat there? Why would he? So the Chavetz Chaim says, if you invited a poor person to your sukkah, he's an oni, and that is a chiddush now. He's invited a poor person to your sukkah. So when he comes to your sukkah, he expects to eat. Invite to your house. So if you don't give him the to eat right away, then you're over malta acher. That is a big chiddush. Because I invite a poor person to my home in sukkah, he expects to play by the rules. He doesn't expect to eat early. I thought it was a big chiddush, but he writes this. He writes in the foot in the Shaar Tzion that if you invited a poor person, and he's, maybe it means that he hasn't eaten for a few days, so he's really starving. So then you have to feed him. So then, since it's first night, even though it's raining, so the not to violate Baal Ta'acher, you'd have to go to the sukkah. I guess he still wouldn't make a leisha in a sukkah, but you wouldn't be allowed to wait it out. So that's based on this Tosfos. So now the Gemara says, well, ma'isris, and giving ma'aser. So that will be a machloek, is what kind of ma'aser. There are three kinds of ma'aser. We run a seven-year cycle. Seven-year cycle is really two, three-year cycles of Shemitah. And the first year of the cycle, that means year one and year four, we give a tenth of our produce to the Levi, and a tenth goes to, we take to Yerushalayim and eat there ourselves. The second and the fifth year of the cycle, so a third, we do the same thing. A tenth goes to the Levi, and a tenth we take to Yerushalayim. And then the third and the sixth year, a tenth goes to the Levi, and a tenth goes to the poor. So when the Brisa says Masros, there's a wide range of opinions. You can see from the Tosfos as to which Meiser is being discussed over here. Tosfos says it applies to all Meisers, as it seems to write. But the Meiri says that it might only apply to Maser Rishon, and he has two opinions, and it might apply to Maser Sheni, and Rashi holds the exact opposite, that it only applies to Maser Sheni and Maser Oni. Okay, let me get further. Gemara will explain why these differences. And then Bechor, and a person has a firstborn of animals, so it has to be brought to the Kohen. He gets three Yom Tov to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Umayser, and in this case, it's the tenth of every sheep flock. Pesach, if a person didn't bring his Korban Pesach, so I'll discuss later on. He was chayav to bring the Korban Pesach. He had a Korban Pesach, and something happened, and he couldn't bring it. Leket shikha upeya. Leket is when there's only a few grapes left in the vine, so you have to leave it. Shikha is if you dropped and forgot some wheat. And peya is the corner of the fields. So kevan sheover alein shleisha regolim, if three yom tovim pass. This bothered Tosis as well, because leket shikha upeya is supposed to leave in the field. You're not supposed to collect it. So how can you be ever about to acher? You leave it. So you didn't leave it. So that's one, if you made a mistake and didn't leave peya, so then you have to make up for it. That could be one possibility. But if you got leket shikha, it's done. Right. But yeah. But let's say, but what would be a situation where you'd be over Baal Ta'achar? I'm supposed to leave the grapes there. Right. Leave it there, right. Well, one second. So how would it be over Baal Ta'achar in that? I have to leave it there. No, but I think if you lock your fields and then you're over, I think immediately, yeah. Oh, so either if he makes a mistake and takes it, or if it's going to rot. The Gemara says we're supposed to leave it in the field, but not for the animals, not for the squirrels. So if we see that it's not going to be around for the poor, so then we take it in. And then, or we could even take it in for a specific oni. But then we have three Yom Tovim in which to bring it to Yerushalayim. It's three Yom Tovim to get it to its right address. And that's what Tosfos says. That could be one of the situations where it would be over Leket Shikon Peya. with the Biban Tacher. So now the Midvayt to the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Omer. So now we're going to go through the different positions as to what is Baal Tamei Yavim Tovim. So Rabbi Shimon says, Shalosh Ragon Kesidron, that's our Mishnah. Three Yavim Tovim, Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos, Sukkos, in order. V'chagam Matzah is Tachila. Rabbi Meir Omer came and Shavuolein Regel Echon. Oim Baal Tacher. One Yom Tov. Already Baal Tacher. Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov Omer came and Shavuolein Shnei Regolim. Two Yavim Tovim. Oim Baal Tacher. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yochi's son, says, "Kevin she'omer alein chagasukos, omer alein v'altacher." Just chagasukos. So again, what are all the positions? Three yamim tovim in any order. Three yamim tovim beginning with Pesach. Two yamim tovim or the yomtiv of sukkos. So our mission adopts the most lenient position. Three yamim tovim in order. That's the most lenient position. There are Rishonim who adopted Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, because the Gemara is a rule. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov's his kavanaki, the Gemara says, his learning is distilled and is usually the halacha. And I think the Rambam paskins like the Tanakama, three Yavim Tovim, not necessarily in order, but most of the Chachmei Ashkenaz paskin three Yom Tovim that are Keseder, and for us in Golos who would have halacha lemaisa applications, we'll discuss this for Tzedakah. So now let's a little bit further. So Gemara says, "My Taima, what are all the reasons why they have this argument?" So Gemara says that some of them stem from the pasuk. Why? Because the pasuk at the end of Re'eh, when the Pasuk teaches us that we're supposed to come to Yerushalayim three times a year. So the Pasuk has, and if you have the Shul Gemara, which is on the side of the second Pasuk, it says, Shomer is a chodesh aviv, v'yasisa pesach l'Hashem aleikecha, ki b'chodesh aviv v'tziyachah Hashem aleikecha mi'mitzrayim. Now this is not the right one. Yeah, no, it's a bit it's fine. This is in the Parshas Re'eh. So the Pasuk reads, keep Yom Tov of Sukkos. And then it says, the next Pasuk, Sholosh Pa'amim Bashana, three times a year, you go up to Yerushalayim. Matzos, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And Hashem come. Don't come empty-handed. So that pasuk lo yira panecha lo yira es panei Hashem come. So that is a pasuk that encourages us to bring our pledges to Yerushalayim. So don't come empty-handed. If I come empty-handed three times, I get nailed by Baal Ta'achar. So the Gemara says that we're talking about Sukkos. So all it has to say is, and in addition, come up Shavuos and Pesach. Why does it say that the Sholosh Pa'amim Bashana Yirisko Vatzchorcha, Chagamatzah is Chagashvuos, and we're just talking about Sukkos. So the Gemara says that's to teach us that we're only in violation of coming up to Yerushalayim empty-handed three times, if it's all three Yomim Tovim, or all three Yomim Tovim in order, or after Sukkos. So this explains three of the shitas. So get inside. Gemara says, but there's no reason to mention Chag HaSukkos because that's the Yom Tov we're holding in. Shema Mina L'Baal Ta'acher. If we come empty-handed three times, we're Oyver Baal Ta'acher. Shimon Oyver Ein Etzorach L'Oyver V'Chag HaSukkos. Shavoy Diver HaKosov. Loma Nema Shezeh Acherayin. Why does it say Chag HaSukkos? Because it wants to tell us that there's a Seder. And Chag HaSukkos is the last one. And Pesach is the first. Rabbi Meir, my time, the Sibu, Bosa, Shama, Vivesim, Shama. Why does Rabbi Meir say that we are in violation of Atahachem if we come up once empty handed? He says, because there's a mitzvah assay, there's a positive command that we discussed, that they come to bring your korban to your shlaim first crack. So if I, so Rav Meir says, Balta Acher is the reverse of the mitzvah assay. If I miss, if I come up empty handed once, so I am in omission of the first, and I am in, and therefore I'm over Balta Acher right away as well. Kevan the Omer Rachmona. I see, but like I see, the Hashem said to bring it. My time. Why does he say two? Because we should be bringing these korbanos. My dechem is on your yomim tovim. The minimal of yomim tovim is two. Okay, so these are the reasons, the different reasons we have for the mitzvah, for the din of Baal Tachar. So I just want to finish up with an amazing, amazing coming together. This is such a word. That is, that there's a medrash in this week's parsha. We're learning the sugya of Baal Tachar. This week's parsha, Parsha Shlach, Medrash Tumah says that Kach Shona Rabbi Seinu, B'shloisha Mekoymois Pinkosish U'odim Niftachas. There are three situations in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we are being judged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out our pinkas, our notebooks, and says, what's happening in the notebook? So if we have in our notebook that we're supposed to bring something, to give a, make a neder, make a pledge, so if a person makes an oath, a promise, and he doesn't pay up, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Pinkosai mizbakeres lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. The notebook comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, my book of pledges comes to, if I write a pledge card to give to a certain organization, and I don't take care of it, so Pinkosei Mizbakeres, so the mentions that this pledge card goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, look, he ignored me. Heichon Ploini Ben Ploini, Shenoder Nedev Yen Ploini. Where did this, where is this guy? Right, that's why whenever people call me up to make pledge of the phone, I say, absolutely not. We don't make pledge of the phone. Why should I say that I think that all these organizations are doing terrible things. I know they raise money, but they're being machshel people. They make a person make a neder. And then it makes it a big nisayon to remember to pay the neder. They're going to send it in the mail. You get it 3 months later. You're going to remember that you made a neder. It says in the envelope, as we discussed, it's only true 50% of the time. So I always tell them absolutely not. And sometimes I tell them that they think they're doing things that are wrong. I once had a situation, one organization, a lot of kavod for, because then a very aggressive person on the phone, I said, I don't make the darm, it's wrong. So then I called up, it was Mayor Balanes Kupa Salant. So then I finally called up and I said to the person running, they said, what you're doing is terrible, you're being martial people. He said, you're right. And I've instructed my staff not to do this, and I will teach them again once again. But that's, so what is this medrash? So this week, the medrash says, Kishaholach Yaakov L'Ram Nerayim. Last week's parsha, when Yaakov Avinu went to the north, it says, Vayida Yaakov Neder Limor. He made a neder. Holach Vinis Asher. He became rich, right? By love, and he became rich. Ubo V'yoshev, and he comes back. V'loishilim his neder. Yaakov didn't pay back his neder last week. Hey, V'yolav Esav, because Baruch Hu brought Esav. This week's parsha. And the Esav takes everything that Yaakov should have given to Tzedakah. He says all the Ezim, 200 goats, and that entire gift. The Medrash, you know why Yaakov ended up giving it to Esav? Because he didn't take care of his neder. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'll get it from you, get Esav." The Lohirgish, and Yaakov didn't chap. Hevi Olav Malach. Then he brought a malach, and the malach boxed him, and he walks away limping. Lahirgish, Yaakov didn't chap what's happening. Then he brought Dina, and still didn't chap. Omer, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mosa Yetzadik Ezel Loikev. Ena Margish, he says, I can't take it anymore. I gave Yaakov so many warnings. It's time to take care of the neder. So they said, I got to tell him. And that's when the next, right after the Mice of Shechem, He says, build him his bayach and bring it. He says, he says, all of these tzaras, because one didn't keep the neder. That's the message I'm trying to give you. So again, it's a very powerful medrash. Has to be understood. Maybe it requires a good drasha, but it whatever you're learning dovetails with the events of the week. So it's a seven tov. So Rav Mamish did Baal Tachar now, and this is the Medrash Tanchuma. So I thought that was an important thing to discuss this year. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.